As we continue on in learning about discipleship, we get to the part that a lot of people hesitate at, and that's witnessing. But I think a lot of times that people hesitate, they don't really understand what witnessing is. They have their ideas. They talk about it a lot. But really, what is it? Is it just going out and telling people that if they don't have Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell? How many people are going to listen to you if you put it that way, right? In John 15:8, Jesus tells us, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. See, witnessing is a process of bearing fruit, sharing what God has done in our lives, living in a way that lets other people know that God is working in your life. The American Heritage Dictionary, that is, defines the word witness as one who can give a first-hand account of something seen, heard, or experienced. And see, that's what it is when we witness for Jesus Christ. We can tell about the things we've seen, we've heard, and we've experienced through Jesus and His Word. We can't tell about things that we heard from other people. That's just hearsay. Even legal courts don't accept hearsay evidence. So we have to give first-hand accounts. Have we really seen it? Have we really heard it? Have we really experienced it? And when we have, then we can share those things. So regarding a Christian's witness, it means that we're to give an account of what we've seen, heard, and experienced concerning our Lord Jesus. If it doesn't concern Jesus, then it's not really witnessing according to God's Word. We're to tell people about Jesus and what He did for us personally. First and foremost, saving us from our sin, giving us that new life. And we can go on to share about what He's done for mankind that we know. Certainly we know according to His Word that Jesus came into the world to save the world, that none should have to perish. All should be able to have the opportunity to choose heaven or hell. And I suspect most of the world would choose hell, not really realizing what that means for them. You know, it's kind of like a joke that they'll be there with all their friends. Really, it's a sad thing. But when you're not in that relationship with the Lord, you don't understand. And so how are people going to understand? Well, they can see a change in our lives. Then when they ask, we can share about different things. We can share the truth about death and hell, and what Jesus came to offer to the world. Sounds pretty simple. But you know, why don't more Christians do that? Because I suspect they still have a foot in the world. They want what Jesus has to offer, but they also want what the world has to offer. And we've got to get to that point to help them understand that they can't have it both ways. They have to choose. But we have to come to that understanding ourselves and have had to make that choice to be able to stand on any positive ground with them. And what I mean by that is we have to be living according to what we say. We can't say do this and do that and then do just the opposite. Jesus also says that when we do that, God is glorified because we'll bear much fruit. There's been people that have been out witnessing their whole lives and haven't seen anybody come to the Lord. So how is that bearing much fruit? Well, we don't know what people have seen in our lives or what they have heard from us that have started them on that path to Jesus. And so as we live and continue to do that, you know, one day we may find out that there's a whole lot more people that have come to the Lord because of some of the things that we've said and done in accordance with God's Word. We don't have to be the one that takes them from beginning to end. We just need to be willing to begin the process. In the last part of that verse, it tells us that the fruit we bear proves that we're Jesus' disciples. So if we're not out there bearing fruit, then are we really a disciple? And if we're not really a disciple, do we really believe in Jesus? And where are we at really with the Lord if we don't understand all of that? If we don't, we shouldn't be out there telling other people they have to make changes. We need to make the changes ourselves first. So we let the world know that we're disciples by our love we have for one another. So the first thing that we can do as a body of believers is not just say we love one another, but act upon it in such a way that others see that. And they say, wow, I want some of that. You know, people always talk about their churches. And people hear about that. That's a witness. The love that we have for one another. Too many people stress over witnessing. But it's really not something we have to work hard at striving to produce. I mean, all we have to do is just take it day by day. Live for the Lord. Share when we have the opportunity. Share the truth of His Word, regardless of what people say, how they treat us. You know? We can't do it on our own. So why not let God, through the Holy Spirit, help us? Rely on, them to take care of the process. We just need to be able to live according to God's Word. It's something that God does through us. He doesn't just say, okay, now that you've accepted me, go do this. No, He's there with us. The Holy Spirit guides us and directs us and helps us. Helps us as we go forward. Helps us as we prepare for it, to learn, to understand, to even be comfortable with it. When Christ is the center of our life, we have seed that can be sown in the lives of others. So when we're grounded in His Word, that seed is fertilized. And then when we are in the right fellowship with other believers, the weeds are pulled. We don't have to worry about all of that stuff. God's already got a plan to take care of that. We just need to live for the Lord. Then as we live godly lives, the Holy Spirit also produces a fruit within us, apart from the fruit that we're to bear. Because that fruit within us provides the seeds that we're out there sowing. So what does a fruit look like in us? I don't know. Sure we do. It's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Because if we got all of these right, then it doesn't matter what the laws are. We're going to be right with God and we're going to be right with other people. We'll have it made, right? So what do we got to fear? Facing conflict from others. Nobody likes that. Those that like that conflict, they probably ought not to be involved in that because they'd handle it the wrong way because they think they got it covered. But you know, we need to let God cover all of that. So when we go out, we can pray and ask God to, you know, if we're going to meet some people along the way, prepare their hearts. Prepare our hearts to be ready to recognize the opportunities and then to share. When Christ is the center of our lives and we're in the Word, we're praying, we're in fellowship with other disciples, things start growing in our lives. And that love and joy and peace builds within us. And it should build within us to the point of overflowing onto others. Even if they don't like it. It's contagious. They won't be able to stop it. And that's when we truly start learning to love and be loved. And that's what the world needs. Believe it or not, our patience will start growing. And then we will have the peace and the joy that we all want. Not that we think we want, but we'll have the real peace and joy that no matter what happens, we can deal with it. Even if it isn't working out, we can still deal with that. Because we have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's promises to take care of us. And the results will be treating people better. Trusting God more. Acting more like Jesus. And people will notice that there's a difference in us. A difference that maybe they want to know more about. Or maybe they even want. And they will seem different because they see something in us that they haven't seen before. It'll attract them. And they'll want to know what it is. And all we have to do is say, Jesus, He saved my life. I was headed down this path and now I'm headed on the path with Him. Life is different. I can handle anything that comes because of Jesus. And people want that. It'll be attractive. And that'll lead to the best fruit of all. New believers in Jesus Christ and new disciples. And isn't that what Jesus commanded us to do? Go and make disciples? That's how we do it. We begin by coming to Jesus, drawing closer to Him. And the closer we get to Him, the more able we are to share that with others. To demonstrate it in front of others so that they can see the difference. And there will be some that will want it. All because of what Jesus is doing in us. Imagine how easy that is, and yet we get so afraid to go out there and talk to people. What they might say, what they might do, especially if they're family and friends. How they might turn from us. Well, we shouldn't have the attitude of, well, I don't care what they do. But we should care for them in a way that lets them know that even though we're different now, we still love and care for them. And sometimes that's hard to do. When you grow up in a family and things are kind of difficult. But you know, you got to overcome those things. And Jesus will help you do that. And that's what produces fruit that lasts. It lasts in us and it'll last in them. So we need to be prepared to give a reason for our hope The hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Well, that's going to take a lot of work, right? We got to prepare, we got to read, we got to study. We got to learn Hebrew and Greek and all this other stuff. It's too much. I can't understand all of that. No, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for your hope, that the hope that's in you, and the meekness and or with meekness and fear." And that meekness isn't being afraid of them. That meekness is a gentleness, a kindness. And if you're building on the fruit of the Spirit, then that ought to come naturally. If someone asks you, what's going on in your life? Depending on the situation, you really wouldn't have a hard time explaining that. Well, this is happening and that's happening. We talk about that all the time. You know, every Sunday when we come in, people are saying, you know, how are you doing? How'd your week go? What's going on? And there's no hesitation. So why should we hesitate to tell people what's going on in our lives with Christ? Many believers, they never really anticipated this. So they're not ready for it. It catches them by surprise and they hesitate at that. But it's really not that hard. Scripture tells us to be ready always, to be prepared, to tell people what's going on with us. Well, I've got this struggle going on, but you know, I've been praying about this, and even though it's still a struggle, things are working, and life's okay. And we all have struggles. Sometimes some of the struggles are greater than others, but at other times their struggles may be greater than ours. And we can help them pray as well. And we can pray for them. Many aren't even wanting to pray. But we can do that to help them because God will help. In the Old Testament, it was required. Can you imagine? They were required. Well, we're required today too. Leviticus 5:1 said, if a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. So if we read God's word and we know that it tells us certain things and we don't share that with other people, we bear in the guilt of them not knowing. Imagine that. How many Christians know that? Even think about that. In the Bible, we have God's promises and commands. I will do this for you. I want you to do that. I will do this for you. I want you to do that. Does that sound familiar? It should. It was in the Old Testament when the Jews come into the Promised Land and they were separated on two hills, one on one side and one on the other side. And one side would holler out what they called curses. Well, God will do this if you don't get this right. The other one will holler out blessings. Well, God is doing this. God has promised that. See? Same thing goes on today. God has promised and God commands. And all we have to do is listen and follow. So, we have seen or known about something, we're to share it. If we don't talk about them, we bear guilt of our own sin for not doing it. If someone asks, how to know Jesus? I don't know how to do that. What do I do? How do I accept Jesus? We should all be able to share with them what that takes, you know. But what would you say? Would you have to get out the Bible and start thumbing through pages to find scriptures? Some would. But we don't always have to start out with scripture. We can always tell them how we came to the Lord. Someone told us about Jesus. We sought more. We looked in God's word. The Holy Spirit touched our heart. We believed, we accepted. Jesus changed our life. Sounds pretty simple, right? That's what the church is supposed to be. A place where we make disciples who in turn make disciples. We share. People come in. We teach them. They share. They bring people in. We teach them. And it goes on and on until Christ comes back again. That's what Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is all about. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And see, if we're bringing them to the Lord and they accept, then we have the responsibility of teaching them God's commands so that they can live accordingly. And that's what makes disciples. And then they in turn can follow that. First we need to go though and bring them to that knowledge of Jesus. Then once they accept Jesus, we need to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not by us. We don't do that. That's God. We do that in His name. Finally, we need to teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And you know, one thing about the military, when it was given out that even a suggestion from a higher commander was to be considered a command, well, that's no different than in God's Word. Even if we think it's just a suggestion, we need to take it as a command. It's coming from God. He's telling us things. And we need to be obedient if we believe. So now, we may not be able to do all of it ourselves. No one's asking you. God's never asked you to do it all yourself. He will work things out along the way as well. But that's why we have the church. Because I can do some things. You can do some things. Someone else can do some things. And before you know it, it gets done. We may not have all of the people that we want to do all of the things and make it easier, but we have all that we need. And we've had all that we need for some time. Because that's how God puts churches together. He brings the right people into the place that He needs them the most, and He plants them there to make disciples. And that's why we got each other to help with that. When we do, God's glorified. When we don't, we bear witness to our own guilt. So, regardless of the size of a church, Jesus has given us everything. And we can't fall back on, well, we don't have enough people. We don't have enough teachers. We don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of that. God has all resources. And all we have to do is go and pray and ask. And God will provide in His timing. But He will provide. And if it's not right away, we don't need it at that moment. Think about that. We pray for all kinds of things. But in time, we have seen answers to our prayers. And you know, that's one of the biggest witnesses we have as a church, that God answers our prayers. And there's been a lot of people recently that have been talking about that within the convention and especially our association and the other churches. That's why Oakville is starting to work on their building. That's why Day Springs is starting to work on a new building for them. Because they've seen how we prayed and we remained faithful and how God answered. And they said, why not us? So you can't say we're not effective. Because people know and they hear. Even when we're unaware of that. In Ephesians 4:12, the Apostle Paul tells us that pastors are called for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So pastors are to equip. And that's what this whole process has been, this first part of the year. It's to go back and recover in a sequence of events on how to be prepared to be the best witness you can be. And we'll culminate it next week when we talk about the process of serving. But yet, you know, if we're not doing what God has for us to do, then the first thing we ought to do is not fear, but pray. Ask God, why? Why can't I do this? Why haven't I done that? Is there something in my life that needs to get right? Is there something I need to confess? If there's some weakness I have, strengthen me. If I don't have an ability, Lord, give me that ability. Or show me. Whatever it is, we need to ask God so that God will provide what we think is missing. And if nothing gets provided, guess what? You got all that you need. Don't hesitate. In other words, the primary job is to teach you the Word of God, so that you will know it, to not just live by it, but also to help teach others, to share it with other people, to prepare them for leading somebody they love to trust the Lord. And that's witnessing. Over the years, you know, there's been many processes that have come out, probably more in the last 30 years than they ever used before, and how to share the process of salvation with people. None more than the Romans Road. But, you know, I've used the faith presentation. There's the net. There's Billy Graham's process of leading somebody to the Lord. There's the the gospel truths. There's a number of them. And you know, whatever you use, know that it's just a process, okay? It doesn't override God's Word, but if it's using God's Word, let that guide and direct. And that is why most of the time, I think they all use God's Word in a way, but there's other things that they interject in it. And so how you interject in using a process of sharing the gospel with somebody is okay, as long as it's in keeping with how God's working in your life. But today I want to give you the Roman Road as it was listed in the Master Life training. And it's a longer version than what most people know of the Roman Road, but it's really a good process. But we need to remember that that's not the only way to help somebody come to know the Lord. Okay? And there are other scriptures that can be used as well. I think in one of my older Bibles, I've got about 15 different scriptures listed that only a small handful are from Romans. But this is a good one, and it's easy to use because you can track it right through the book of Romans. So, if you follow along in your Bible, keep in mind that I'm using the New King James, because different translations are going to say it a little bit differently, but they say basically the same thing. But I've also provided a handout that was in the bulletin there for everybody. And you know, if you're going to use your Bible later on to show people in that, it wouldn't hurt to highlight it, but some people are skeptical over marking their Bibles. I've got every one of my Bibles is marked up. I've got them tabbed and everything else. When they get too much in it, then they get a new Bible and start over again. But, you know, it's all for helping us. That's what the Bible is, a help for us to be able to share God's Word with other people and to put it in our lives in such a way that we can live by it. So don't, you know, Do with your Bible as you would. Don't desecrate it, but you know I don't see any harm in underlining or highlighting some things. So as I put down on your list, I want to go over them with you, because as you go through, you'll see that it builds on the process there. The first one is God's salvation is available for everyone. People need to know that, you know, John 3:16 says that God loved the world so much that he gave his son to die to pay a price that they couldn't pay. Yeah, you know, that's my paraphrase of that. But Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek." Or in some it might say Gentile. But really what it is saying is for the Jews and for everybody else. Because that's what they considered, the Gentiles. The second thing then is that God loves you and wants you to turn to Him. You know, stop living for the world and turn to God. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Repentance is turning. Without turning to God, He can't forgive you. And without that, there is no eternal life. Well, with Him, there's eternal death without Him. The third thing is that, but we all have sinned and missed God's standard or missed God's glory. I mean, it's not just some people, the bad people. It's all people, everyone. John says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. So everyone has sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We miss out, no matter how hard we might try. Then 4, God made a way for sinners through Jesus. That's His plan. Okay, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to come to Him. He died for all before they came to Him. And so anybody else can come to Him. We deserve death, number 5, for our sins. That death is separation from God for eternity. But we have forgiveness and life through Jesus. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, what we deserve, we don't get if we accept Jesus. We get what we don't deserve, and that's eternal life. Then number 6, confess and believe for salvation in Jesus. Romans 10:9, 10, and 13. Them are probably the hub of what it is to accept Jesus. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, our confession is calling Jesus to be our Lord. That's our confession. It's not going out and confessing Jesus to others. We can do that. We can share what we've confessed. But that confession is to Jesus. Sharing the truth of God and what He's done for everybody, that's witnessing. Then number 7, if we confess and believe, we're no longer condemned. We don't have to worry about hell. That's not in the plans for us. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, because when we believe, we're to walk according to the Spirit, not according to that old nature, not after the lusts and everything we wanted before. We walk according to what Jesus would walk, how He acted, His character. We want what He had, not what we used to have. And then finally, number 8, we give ourselves to God and let Him transform our lives. See, See, I've had a lot of people tell me, I can't come to the Lord. I got too much to change right now. I got to wait till later. Let me get all of this dealt with before I come to the Lord. You know what happens? Usually they're dead before that happens. And they don't have the Lord because they waited too long. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when you can share that with people and answer their questions so that they can understand, that's it. And when they can say, I believe and I want Jesus as my Savior and Lord, you know, we usually kind of help new people with a prayer because most new Christians are afraid of praying out loud, especially if someone hears them. So we can kind of help them with that. But we don't want to lead them. We want them to pray from their heart, because it's with the heart that we get salvation, that we're deemed righteous. And it's with their mouth then that they can confess Jesus. So like I said before, if you don't want to mark your Bible, you can put this little sheet in your Bible. You can retype it, put it in a different form, however you want to do it, but so that you'll have it. But I have some Bibles marked where I have the verses highlighted, and then I'll have tabs by each one of the verses so I can go to them quickly. I do that. I have a little pocket one that I use so that I can show people that I'm not just telling them this stuff, that it's right here in God's Word. And then I go to the tabs as I share that with them. And that's it. All we have to do is be willing to reach out to other people. That's why we're here. And you know, you probably heard me say 100 times, if it weren't for that, Jesus would take us to be with him as soon as we believed. Why would he leave us here if there wasn't any reason that would bring glory and honor to him? He wants us to reach other people. That's his plan. To make disciples, to reach people, so that we can make more disciples, to reach more people. And so that none should have to perish, but all should be able to have eternal life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just how it impacts our life. Lord, I pray that each day it would impact our life more and more. That we would get to the point that we would be so in tune with you, we would never miss an opportunity. We'd never have to come back to you and say, I'm sorry, I failed you, or I've sinned. But Lord, we thank you so much in knowing that even when that happens, that we can still come back to you and turn to you and say, please forgive me, and you will. And we thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.